or to go the Lord's way. And our theme verse that we've been looking at is Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, and it kind of describes some of the things that we face when we have those choices. This is what the Lord says: stand where the roads cross and look. Ask where the old way is, where the good way is, and walk on it. If you do, you will find rest for yourselves. And so he says, as you come to the intersections of life, you're going to stand, you're going to ask, you're going to look, you're going to continue to ask, you're going to walk, and you're going to make choices. And God's way says this is where you will find rest for your souls. And what I want to look at this morning is this is where you will find opportunities. God is going to put God-sized opportunities in our lives where we are going to have to make a choice. Either we're going to take the easy way, which is the world's way, or we're going to take the way that's a little harder and a lot harder in many, many situations, but it leads to life and it leads to rest for our souls and it leads to finding those God-sized opportunities. And by the way, Big Spring Baptist Church, you came up to the occasion. You rose to the occasion. That's what I was trying to say. In Vacation Bible School, and we had 75 adults who said, "I'm going to risk. You know, I'm not sure that I'm well trained in helping out with Vacation Bible School and be a part of that." But you went out. You answered that call of God. You know, you were called to ministry. It's one of the things I learned while I was at the convention. One of the messages was, "Stop saying, pastors, stop saying that you're called into the ministry." Stop saying that you're called to preach, you're called to be a pastor, but every Christian is called into the ministry. Amen? And so that's why we as pastors need to stop saying that. And you know what? 75 of you got the call and you answered that call. Maybe more of you got the call and you didn't answer the call, or some of you didn't get that call and that's why you weren't. But those of you that answered that call, you obeyed the Lord. And the Lord says, when you obey me, you are going to experience me. And we experienced God in a wonderful way through Vacation Bible School. But everything that God wants to happen in your life is going to change you more and more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And as that happened, you became more like the Lord Jesus. Now, a question I want to ask today is, what is it in your life? What good road are you afraid to take? What step are you afraid to take that leads to a good road that will bring more closeness to God in your life, that will bring you closer to God, and you will have more of a depth of closeness to Him? And so that's the question I want you to think about during this message, during this time as we look at these scriptures. What is it that you're hesitating to choose that would bring you closer to God? And we've been looking at the book of Acts, and next week we're going to look at Acts again as we complete this series. And we're going to do that today. And we're going to look at Acts chapter 3 and some verses in chapter 4. And as we get into the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, I want to read these verses to you, verses 1 and 2. First of all, it says that Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And as they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. And each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. Now I want to pause right there. I want us to set up the scene. I want you to kind of look at this. This man is lame. He's sitting there by the temple gate, the beautiful gate, the main gate, one of the main gates that goes into the temple. And what is significant, one of the significant things here is he did not choose to go to the Jerusalem 7-Eleven and sit outside the 7-Eleven and beg. You know, I believe he was at the right place to beg, because folks going into the 7-Eleven, and you know, just think about this, going into the convenience store, you got your money spent. And a lot of folks, I'm gonna buy a lottery ticket, or I'm gonna buy some camel jerky or whatever it is. You know, your money is spent. And so this guy does not choose to beg outside a convenience store like that. He's outside the temple where he feels like, and he does have the greatest chance of getting some help. So he's outside that temple, and we pick it up in verse 3. Peter and John are walking into the temple. And when this lame man saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." And the lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting a gift. But Peter said, I don't have any money for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And then Peter took the lame man by the hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankle bones were healed and strengthened. Now, put yourself in the place of this person. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation similar to this or even close to this, but try to think about what was going on in this man's life. Try to think about what it would be like for you. How would you feel if you were observing this from the lame man's situation? And you're sitting right there when Peter says, I don't have any money for you, but. You know, you'd probably heard that a million times. But my buddies are coming along later on, and they'll probably give you some money. I don't have any money for you because I lost it all in the chariot, betting on the chariot races. When I switch to Geico, I'll be able to help you, or something like that. You know, he was getting those kinds of stories. But this but was different. It was different. This one was one that would change this lame man's life. It would change his life forever. And here's what I want you to see. In this setting, Peter saw an opportunity. It was a God-sized opportunity. And Peter took a risk. He took a God-sized risk because God had called him to that and God had nudged his heart. And he was obedient to the Lord. And he seized the opportunity. Now, what could Peter have done? Peter could have done like I've done many times, and probably you've done, is walk right by the man. And just literally walk by, right by him, fearful to take a risk and even to speak to the man. And that lame guy is just still sitting there. But Peter didn't do that. He took advantage of the opportunity. He took a risk. And because Peter took a risk, what I want you to see is this man's life was changed. His life was changed for all of eternity. Not only was that life changed, but the Bible tells us that other lives were changed. Here's what the Bible says happened. When people saw the lame man dancing around and running around into the temple, all of a sudden there was a crowd. And everybody wanted to know what was going on. You know, that's what happens when a life is changed. When you begin to share your story, how your life has changed, you go back to those old places where you used to go, and people see a change in your life, and they want to know, what is it? They want to hear your story. And all of a sudden, people begin to gather. They want to know, what's your story? What happened to you? What are you doing there? And so God wants us to face the fear of risk. I want you to write that in. God wants us to face the fear of risk. That is, He wants us to seize the day. He wants us to seize that opportunity. Now, there's a crowd outside. Back to Acts chapter 3. There's a crowd outside this temple. And I want you to see in Acts chapter 3, we're going to skip down to verse 12. It goes on and it says, Peter saw his opportunity and he addressed the crowd. Underline that phrase, saw the opportunity. Peter saw the opportunity. People of Israel, he said, what is so astounding about this? And why look at us as though we had made this man walk by our own power and godliness? What I want you to see is there is another opportunity. Peter sees the day. He sees the opportunity first by taking that risk and saying to that lame man, in the name of Jesus Christ, he stopped and he said, I don't have any money, but in the name of Jesus Christ, arise and walk. But then there is another opportunity. He saw another one, and the crowd was gathered, and Peter saw the opportunity. I love those words. You know, Peter was a preacher, and he saw the opportunity. A crowd had gathered, and he saw that opportunity. There it is. There it is written for us, right there in black and white. But he didn't just see the opportunity. The Bible says that he seized the opportunity. And we see, you know, you say, I don't know if I ever see. Yes, you do. You see opportunities all the time. I do. And so do you. We have all kinds of opportunities in our lives. And we say, and sometimes we're just not looking for them. And when we don't seize those opportunities that God puts in our path, it's harder and harder and harder for us to see them. But Peter saw it, and he seized it, and he addressed the crowd, and he goes on to teach a message about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, let's pause here for just a moment. how could, you know, what Peter could have done something different. He could have said, in the name of Jesus Christ, arise and walk, and been done with that. Well, one miracle a day is enough. You know, seizing one opportunity a day is enough. And so he could have seen the crowd gathering, and he could have said, well, there's too many people gathering around. You know, I'm afraid of standing up in front of people. And by the way, I've shared with you before how my fear, I'll just share my fear with you for just a moment. You know, when I was in high school, I was so afraid of getting up in front of people that I took a zero on book reports that you had to get up and speak. And I'm still afraid. To this day, this morning, I dealt with that. I just laid it at the feet of Jesus. But there's that opportunity. And Peter could have said, there's too many people here. I don't have a microphone. The microphone hasn't been invented yet. And Peter could have said, one miracle is enough. I already faced that fear first. And he could have just rode off into the sunset or something. But Peter had a lot of opportunities. And he saw an opportunity. He took the risk. He seized the opportunity. And you need to know that every time you see that opportunity and you seize the opportunity, there's going to be a cost. There's a cost. It may be a little pain. It may be a little embarrassment. You may shed a few tears in front of people. Have to open up your heart a little bit. People may push back. You may get some pushback. There may be some problems. If it wasn't like that, it wouldn't be a risk, would it? What have we got? In the same setting, let's go to chapter 4 and verse 1. Let's look at what it says there. While Peter and John were speaking to the people, the leading priests, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees, these were the religious bigwigs at that time. And by the way, later on, you need to know this because later on in the verse it says something about this. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in that. So these bigwigs come over to them, and they were very disturbed that Peter and John were claiming on the authority of Jesus that there is a resurrection of the dead. They were disturbed about it because they didn't believe in it. And so they arrested them, and since it was already evening, jailed them until morning. And so I want you to see that even though you take advantage of the opportunity, you seize the opportunity, there is a cost. There is a cost. And Jesus said we are to sit down and we are to count the cost and know that there is a risk. And sometimes risk has a cost. And here Peter pays the price. If there is no cost, it's not a risk. And it says that the next morning that Peter is now pulled out in front of all these government leaders, and now he's almost kind of standing trial here. And this is the question they ask Peter. Wouldn't you like for people to ask you this question? Look at this question that they ask Peter. By whose power? By what authority do you do these things? Peter, what authority did you heal this guy with? What power did you use to heal him? Don't you think that was an opportunity to Peter in front of everybody? Whose power did you use to heal this guy? And Peter again has another opportunity, and he takes the risk again, and he seizes the opportunity again. But here's something else that I want you to see as we go on. I want you to see five words here. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, leaders and elders of our nation, and he goes on to teach a message about God and salvation. So now Peter is in this intersection moment of life, and he is filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, what does that mean? Well, here's what it means for the Christian. If you are a Christian, if you are a Christ follower, if you have had that time and that moment in your life where you said, Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner, and I believe you died on the cross for my sins, and I ask you to forgive me of those sins and come into my life and be my Lord and my master and the boss of my life, the CEO of my life. I'm going to follow you. If you are a Christ follower, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And when you have God's presence, which you do, then you have God's power. And so not only did Peter have the presence of God in his life, but he had the power of God in his life. And you as a believer, not only do you have the presence of God in your life, but you have the power of God in your life. And God's Spirit is like this GPS system. Maybe that's the most modern way to describe this and illustrate this. A lot of you probably have GPSs, and you know how a GPS operates. And I'm going to use Brother David just a minute here. But David Robinson and I, we got our GPSs close to the same time. And David named his Flossie, so I named mine Flossie too. I might have to go to Matilda or something like that. But anyway, on the GPS, you've got this voice. And when you first get your GPS, it's kind of cool. In 500 feet, turn right. You know, and you listen to that for a while. In 100 feet, turn right. You listen to that for a while, it's kind of cool for a while, and all of a sudden, oh, man, I'm going to turn her off. I don't want to listen to that anymore. I know where I'm going. And that's sort of like the Holy Spirit of God. When you first become a Christian, it is so cool to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit of God leading you. And you listen to His voice and He says, turn right and go straight to heaven. You know, and you just long to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit of God leading you. And then all of a sudden, you get to that point in your life. Well, it's not, I don't know. I know where I'm going. This is what I want. I want to be happy. I want to do this. I want to do that. And you turn off the voice. You quench the Holy Spirit in your life. But I want you to know that if you're a believer and you come to these intersection moments, you're filled with the presence of God, but not only are you filled with the presence of God, through the person of the Holy Spirit, you have the power of God in your life, and He is able with His power to give you the courage to risk. And so, back to Peter. We're looking at Peter. Well, you know, we're looking at how he risked his life even. Because these leaders had the ability to take the life of Peter. They could have put him to death. But they saw that he was uneducated and he was an ordinary man. But they saw that he'd been with Jesus. That he had been with Jesus. And so, what does this look like for you? What does this look like for me? I want us to look at the big picture, the big goal. If you remember anything, here's what I want you to remember. I want you to see the opportunities. Open up your spiritual eyes and see the opportunities that God gives you. And then I want you to take the risk. And I want you to then seize the opportunity. That is the goal. See the opportunity. Take the risk. And seize the day. Seize the opportunity. And that is the great goal of our lives as Christians. And I want to drill down and I want to make this a little more practical. How do you do this? How do you see it? How do you take the risk? How do you seize the opportunity? How do I get over my fear of risk? I'm going to give you four things. First thing is, I need to acknowledge my specific fear. I need to acknowledge that I was afraid to get up in front of people and I needed to face that. And each time I do that, the easier it gets. But after these 30 years, it's still difficult. But it still takes the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. But you need to acknowledge a specific fear. Name it. Identify it. Determine what that fear really is for you. Maybe if that's not a fear for you, you can get up in front of thousands and thousands of people and never think anything about it. But you've got some other type of a fear that keeps you from taking the risk for God. Now, I'm not talking about taking crazy risk, but I'm talking about taking risk for God, that you know God has placed an opportunity in front of you. And He wants you to take that opportunity. So identify, turn on the lights. When you do, it minimizes the power. Whatever your fear, Christian or not Christian, if you define it, you're going to close in on it, and you are closing in on something big. If you can define what your fear is that keeps you from going God's way, you're closing in on something big. So acknowledge the specific fear. Then the second thing is to admit my fear of risk to someone. Maybe it's your best friend. Maybe it's somebody in your Sunday school class. Maybe it's your whole Sunday school class. But let's be very honest here. Admitting that you're afraid of anything is really hard to do, right, dads? We don't, especially us men, we don't want to admit our fears. And us guys, we don't like to admit we're afraid of anything. So what we do is we lie. And we hide. And we appear resilient to all fear. But we need to admit it and confess our fears of risk to somebody else. And then the third thing, I want to encourage you to assume one risk. Just one. Just start with one. Maybe you've got lots of fears and lots of things about following God. And you're afraid of these things. So just assume one risk, one opportunity that will challenge your fear. And then after you assume that risk, you assume another one soon after. Now, what is that like? This is the classic face your fear thing. You've heard that over and over. You've got a fear. And I'm just saying, take one risk at an opportunity to go God's way, whether it's a conversation with a stranger. Maybe you're kind of an introvert, and you're just afraid to go up to somebody you don't know and tell them about Jesus. But how many times has the Holy Spirit of God nudged you and said, you need to go talk to this person, but you didn't do it because you were afraid. You didn't know that person. You were afraid of what was going to happen. Something like that. Face that fear and tell it to someone else. Assume that risk or whatever that fear may be. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's reading your Bible at work. You're afraid to do that. But whatever it is, maybe it's making a decision. Maybe it's meeting a friend, somebody that knew you before you knew Christ. Maybe you have a fear of getting together with them and telling them your story. Maybe you've set up an appointment with them before and you said, I want to meet you at such and such a place for coffee, and I want to tell you a story about my life, things that happened in my life. I want to talk about life for a little bit. And you get there early and you see that person get out of the car and that fear comes back. And you say, well, maybe I can tell them later. And you just kind of back away from it. But assume at least one fear. And each time that you do not take the risk, and God is saying for you to take the risk, that fear gets bigger and bigger. And so you've got to put it into practice. You've got to trust the Lord and follow Him and seize the day. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to get some little magic potion and all of your spiritual fears are going to go away. I'm saying take one at a time. Take one risk at a time and go after it and practice it. Now, I want to give you two things that I can guarantee are going to happen when you do that. Two things that are going to happen. I'd love for all of this to be neat and tidy and happily ever after, but it's not going to be that way. One thing I can guarantee you is when you take a risk, your fear is going to come back. When you face your risk and you take the risk and you seize the opportunity, somewhere along the line that fear is going to come back. I can guarantee it. It may be 10 times down the road, or it may be one more time, but that fear is going to come back. And the second thing that I can guarantee is going to happen is that when you take this risk, and I hate to tell you this one, but I guarantee that somewhere along the line you're probably going to fail. And so the fear is going to come back, and somewhere along the line you're going to fail. There is a cost. There is a cost to seeing the opportunity that God places in our lives, and to take the risk and to seize the opportunity. But there's a fourth thing that I want you to see, and that is, I want you to attach importance to the work of God in your life when you take that risk. And we need to be very, very careful at this point, because God has chosen to do His work through you and through me, through human beings. And if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves taking the glory for it. We need to be very careful here. It's all God. Yes, you yielded to Him. Yes, you obeyed Him and you followed Him. But the miracles that took place, the changes that took place for eternity, God did that. And we need to give Him the glory for that. And so when you see an opportunity and God fills you with His Holy Spirit and you recognize that not only do you have the presence of the Holy Spirit, but you have the power of the Holy Spirit, and you take that risk and you seize that opportunity, I want you to give God the glory for that. And I want you to see that God takes pleasure in that, that it is Him, that He is working. Now here's the image I have, that when I choose to walk God's way and I say, God, I'm going to see an opportunity. God, I'm going to take the risk. God, I'm going to seize it. And the image I have is God kind of with His arm around your shoulder, and He's saying, great job and way to go. You can feel the pleasure of God in your life, and I can hear His joy saying that that is a good step. I've been laying that opportunity out there for you for so long, and finally you took it, and I'm so excited, and I'm so excited that not only do you see it because you've seen it before, but you're taking the risk to seize it. And you are trusting me as your Father, as your Heavenly Father. And that just fills my heart. You're filling the heart of God with pleasure and with joy. And He's saying, I'm thrilled, my child. I'll tell you this story. You know, as a father, we get to enjoy lots and lots of things that our kids, just like, you know, that video touched me so much because I got to experience that with my children. My children are grown now. Now I'm a grandfather. I got grandchildren. And I got a little boy that I get the pleasure of tucking into bed sometimes at night. And we were saying our prayers. We said our prayers. And he said, gee, Daddy, I love you. I promise. I promise. What if we said that there, our Heavenly Father? God, I love you. How many times have we said it and we really didn't think about it? But we said, God, I love you. I promise. I promise. With all my heart. That's our Father. He has a heart that is bigger than our heart, and He is thrilled when His children follow Him, and we take that risk, and He gets to work in our lives, and He gets to change our lives, and He gets to change lives around us, and we get to see that, and God is overjoyed with that. And I want you to feel God's pleasure knowing that He's cheering you on, and He says, I've seen you this way, and that's the life I have for you, and every time you take a step that way, you feel the pleasure of God. Maybe there's someone here today and you're not sure that you've stepped across the line, and you're not sure that you're a believer, you're not sure that you're a Christian. Maybe that's a fear that you have, to let somebody know that you're not a Christian. But you've been checking this Christian thing out, and you've been checking the God thing out, and you've been investigating the things of God, and you've been trying to do that from a distance, but now you're starting to feel like not only do you need God in your life, but you want God in your life. You want who He is, and you want His power and His presence in your life, but you're afraid kind of that unknown that's going to happen to you, and you say, God, I don't know what all that means, but I invite You into my life to be the ruler and the guide and the GPS of my life. You feel the pleasure that God feels for you. Now let's go back to Peter one more time, chapter 4 and verse 13. Let's look at this one more time. I want you to see what people saw in Peter that I believe they can see in us. Verse 13, the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men who had had no special training. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. Do you think ordinary would define you? I think it would. I would define me. I'm just an ordinary guy. You're just an ordinary lady. And an ordinary person. Good news. Those are the kind of people God delights in using. I believe we saw it 75 times in Vacation Bible School. 75 cases of it, really more. But those are the ones that were enrolled. And those are the kind of people, ordinary people, that God uses. They have no special training, but they had been with Jesus. Can that define you? You have no special training. You haven't been to seminary, but you've been with Jesus. You've been with Jesus. Can you imagine what your life would look like? Can you imagine what the rest of your days would look like for you? When you're going to see the opportunity, the God-sized opportunity that is there before you, and when you see it, you're going to take the risk every single time, and you're going to seize the opportunity. God begins to work in you and through you. Now, that's my dream for me and for you. Let's bow together as we pray. Father, we thank you for the joy of being your child. We thank you that you are the Heavenly Father and that you're the greatest Father of all. But your heart is...